Hello, and welcome to the ICIS Americas podcast. I'm your host, Anna Mathern, and with me today is our CRUD expert, Ignacio Sotolongo. Welcome to the podcast.
I'm very happy to be here. Greetings, everyone.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. While we're still closely following outages and restarts from the severe winter storm that hit Texas, a big factor, of course, is what happened with crude oil and what will happen. I mean, the most asked question typically around the office is, Iggy, what's crude doing, right? So, Iggy, what's crude doing after the storm?
Okay. The oil industry has faced many challenges before. In the most recent past, of course, we had Harvey, which was a rain event. Then, of course, a year or so ago, the pandemic that obliterated the demand and supply. And then now we have this cold storm that basically disrupted refining capacity and production. You have to remember that the energy industry is very resilient and it can handle a lot of these things. Sure, there will be some temporary disruptions. But for example, about 6 million barrels of refining capacity were disrupted during the crippling freeze. However, by now, close to 4 million barrels are beginning to get back online. Some refiners have decided to advance turnarounds from the spring that they had been planned. So the price of oil have jumped about $25 in the last 3 months. And we've been moving either side of $60 for West Texas Intermediate, WTI, which is the US benchmark, and about $65 for Brent, which is the North Sea benchmark. We have to remember also that future markets, futures prices are anticipatory. And the reason why we are around $60 a barrel, $25 more than we were 3 or 4 years ago, is because the industry is anticipating a rebound, a recovery. The vaccine rollout is being well received. The OPEC has tried to rein in production. So there's various forces that are impacting the market, and there's hope. The economic relief package just passed Congress, is going to the Senate. So all of that is giving the investors optimism for the future.
Yeah, I think we've seen a lot of that optimism throughout the past year, too, with prices, you know, once they sank. Pretty much around this time last year have been rebounding steadily. So I think everyone's keeping that hope going there, right?
Exactly. Oh, yes. Yes. It's amazing. We didn't expect $60 a barrel to be at this time, but right. It's there. Investors are very hopeful and they're driving it up. What's happening now is there is such a strong momentum to the upside that no one wants to sell into a moving train. Therefore, we may hold around this level for a while, unless, obviously, there's always something could happen. And we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, there's always another historic event around the corner, it seems.
Another unprecedented. It's becoming that. The term unprecedented is becoming very popular in these markets.
Yeah, it's kind of lost some of its meaning, right?
Oh, yes.
So you mentioned OPEC, and I know that's another big topic of discussion. So when the U.S. became a top oil producer, it was suggested that OPEC had become somewhat irrelevant. Is that assumption correct?
No, not exactly. It is true that when the U.S. became a top oil producer, it started exporting about 3 million barrels of oil per day, and it took market share away from other producers, mainly from OPEC. And then the US became, if not energy independent, at least it became energy secure by not having to import so many barrels. But we're still importing barrels from Canada, from Saudi Arabia, and from Mexico. So it is not exactly that we are that independent. Yes, we're exporting, but it's the quality of the oil that comes into play. Now, OPEC as an alliance control in good times, they control about 30 million barrels of oil per day, one-third of global demand in good times. Unfortunately, we're still recovering. And they have shown some discipline in keeping volume or some barrels from the market. At the same time, we have to remember that two members of OPEC, Venezuela and Iran, are still sanctioned. There's still sanctions, and volume is, some of it is moving out, but not at their potential. So no, when a group like that, an alliance which includes Russia now as an ally, control that much volume, no, it cannot be irrelevant.
So. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And turning more to U.S. specific, how is the oil industry responding to President Biden's agenda on energy, climate change, and renewables?
The U.S. oil industry is learning to work with the new administration. Obviously, there were some concerns at first when the administration banned leasing in public lands, when it canceled the Keystone Pipeline project. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the industry is beginning to embrace the fact that there is an ongoing shift towards renewables. It is a fact. And the industry is slowly beginning to accept that. There is a theory that as a result of this, the pandemic, demand for hydrocarbons or fossil fuels is peaking. And if their demand may never go back, demand for fossil fuels may never go back to the old standards. But that remains to be seen. But in reality, the industry is accepting the shift, and most likely more and more companies are dedicating their efforts towards renewables.
Yeah, we've definitely seen a lot of announcements as of late within the past year about focusing on renewables and shifting toward that way from several companies.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is, once again, that's a moving target, and that is something that we just need to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Iggy, for joining me on this podcast and updating our listeners. You always have the best insights into crude. And I'm sure we could have kept this podcast going for a lot longer.
Yes.
So we'll have to do some more updates. And to all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in. And be sure to check out icis.com for the latest info. If you don't already know, you can now listen to all of our podcasts on Spotify simply by searching ICIS Chemical Update and giving us a follow. Stay safe out there.